Welcome to Enclave On Air. I'm your host today, Ashling Wehner. Enclave On Air is a podcast from Enclave, which provides oncology professionals with the resources and information they need to provide the best patient care. In both digital and print formats, Enclave covers every angle of oncology practice, from new technology to treatment advances to important regulatory decisions. In today's episode, we had the pleasure of speaking with Lucy Gilbert, MD, MSc, about the FDA approval of dostarlimab in patients with endometrial cancer. Dr. Gilbert is a professor in the Department of Obstetrics and Gynecology and a professor in the Department of Oncology at McGill University, as well as Director of Gynecologic Oncology and Director of the Women's Health Research Unit at McGill University and McGill University Health Center in Montreal, Canada. On February 9, 2023, the FDA granted regular approval to dostarlimab for adult patients with mismatch repair deficient advanced or recurrent endometrial cancer with disease progression on or after platinum-containing therapies in any setting who are not eligible for radiation or curative surgery. This regulatory decision follows the April 2021 accelerated approval of the agent in this population. The regular approval was backed by findings from the Phase 1 GARNET trial, in which the cohort of patients with dMMR endometrial cancer achieved a confirmed objective response rate of 45.4% with dostarlimab. Additionally, in the endometrial cancer cohort, the median duration of response was not reached, 85.9% of patients had responses lasting at least 1 year, and 54.7% of patients had responses lasting at least 2 years. In our exclusive interview, Dr. Gilbert discussed the significance of this approval, key efficacy data from GARNET, and how this agent bolsters the endometrial cancer treatment paradigm. So, speaking today about the FDA approval of dostarlimab in MMR-deficient endometrial cancer, just to start off, what is the significance of this approval and how does it affirm or affect clinical practice?
This is something we have been waiting for ages because women with recurrent endometrial cancer really, once they've failed platinum-based chemotherapy, have next to nothing. So this is hugely important for women with recurrent endometrial cancer and for gynae oncologists and medical oncologists because it gives us something where we had nothing before.
What is the mechanism of action of dostarlimab and how does it compare with other PD-1 inhibitors in this space?
When cells replicate, DNA errors are common, and we have a system in place, mismatch repair system, that corrects this DNA replication errors. And some tumors are deficient in this mismatch repair mechanisms. And these tumors are called MMR deficient tumors or mismatch repair deficient tumors. And fortunately for women with endometrial cancer is a type of cancer that has one of the highest recorded mismatch repair. So it gives us a target for these cancers. And that's why we are very happy because this is a space that did not have effective treatments. For example, in women who had failed gold standard treatment for advanced endometrial cancer, which is platinum-based chemotherapy, using second-line chemotherapy achieved responses of less than 10%. And progression-free survival was in the region of 3 to 4 months. And most women were dead within a year. So it's in this space that dostarlimab achieved remarkable results in MMR deficient patients. So we are very, very excited. About a third of women with endometrial cancer have MMR deficient patients. So this is a substantial group of women who we can help with checkpoint inhibitors.
What were some of the key efficacy findings from the GARNET trial, specifically in the MMR deficient endometrial population?
What is remarkable about the GARNET trial is that it's the largest trial of endometrial cancer patients who had failed standard of care treatment. And for the MMR deficient cohort, I think this approval was based on 141 patients. So this is a substantial group of patients. One thing to know about the Garnet trial is it's a single arm trial. There was no comparator arm and it was open label. But these patients, as I said, had failed standard of care chemotherapy and they had to have no other efficacious treatment available. So for such a group, dostarlimab was used in 141 MMR deficient patients, and it achieved an efficacy, an astounding efficacy rate of about 45.4% overall response rate. Now compare this with what second-line chemotherapy would have achieved, which is about 10%. So this is very important and good. More importantly, the responses were durable. And that's extremely important because with the second-line chemotherapy, the responses were very short-lived. It was a low response rate and it was short-lived. And here you had durable responses. So at the end of a year, about 85% of patients were still in response. And at the end of 2 years, more than half the patients were still in response. Now, this is immensely, immensely gratifying.
What does the safety profile look like for dostarlimab?
So the striking thing about dostarlimab is that not only the responses were durable, it was high. The patients who had some kind of adverse events were quite high. About 63% of patients had some kind of treatment-related adverse events, but most of these were very minor. The important thing to know is grade 3 or more adverse events were very low, about 13%, and the discontinuation rate from adverse events were very low, about 3.9%. This is, for those who use systemic chemotherapy, this is immensely, immensely encouraging. And for patients, it's wonderful to have such low toxicity. Some of the important toxicity, grade 3 or more toxicity, was anemia, but this occurred in about 4% of patients. Colitis, which is a common immune-related adverse event, occurred in 1.6%. So its safety profile is very, very good. And this is a boon to patients.
Although this safety profile is across the board pretty favorable, are there any patients in whom you would hesitate to use this agent because of the possibility of adverse effects or serious adverse effects?
Yes. Immune checkpoint inhibitors work by activating the immune system, and sometimes the immune system can go berserk and cause severe life-threatening problems. And this is much more likely to occur in patients who already have a problem with the immune system. So if you have autoimmune diseases that have required treatment, this is a group in whom I'd be quite hesitant to use an immune checkpoint inhibitor, even something like dostarlimab, which has a good safety profile. You have to weigh what else does this patient have? What else is at your disposal to use for these patients? So there's absolutely and totally nothing else, and death is the other thing on the cards, then very, very cautiously, I would perhaps be willing to try it. But that's a group of patients I'd be extremely careful about.
Is there anything else about this agent or this approval that you'd like to add that we haven't touched on already?
For dMMR deficient patients, we have used trials of other agents, for example, pembrolizumab and durvalumab. What I'd like to mention about dostarlimab is that it's been used in the largest group of MMR deficient patients. So oncologists have the reassurance that this has been tried in a large number of patients. They've been followed up for quite a long time. So that is very encouraging. It's also the only immune checkpoint inhibitor that has a trial evidence of having been used every 6 weeks. Now, this is good for patients. Take into consideration that these patients have already gone through a lot. They have had surgery. Most of these patients, about 70% of them, have had radiation. Some of them have had repeated surgery. They've failed carboplatin and Taxol. So to then go on to a treatment that after four doses can be given every 6 weeks as a 30-minute infusion is remarkable. And patients find this reassuring and makes them able to get on with their lives. To come into hospital, have an infusion only once in 6 weeks, have very little toxicity, is something that is phenomenal, I think. I did not expect to see it in my lifetime, so I'm very happy.
Are you or your institution part of any ongoing gynecologic cancer research that you'd like to highlight while we're here today?
We are excited about the new investigational products that are coming out. We are one of the most, if not the most active sites for clinical trials in Canada. And we are excited that so many targeted therapies are out there. But the bee in my bonnet, if I may, is early detection, because treating patients after they have advanced cancer and recurrent cancer, you know, we have to do it. But I think early detection is the key. So we are perhaps the only center with this doing a phase 3 trial on a genomic pap test for early detection of endometrial cancer, along with ovarian cancer. And we're very, very excited. We'll complete a recruitment of the last patient in May. So watch the space.
That's all we have for today. Thank you for listening to this episode of OncLive On Air. Check back on Mondays and Thursdays for exclusive interviews with leading experts in the oncology field. For more updates in oncology, be sure to visit www.onclive.com and sign up for our e-newsletters. OncLive is also on social media. On Twitter, follow us at OncLive and at OncLiveSOSS. On Facebook, like us at OncLive and OncLive State of the Science Summit, and follow our OncLive page on LinkedIn. If you liked today's episode of OncLive On Air, please consider subscribing to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, and many of your other favorite podcast platforms so you get a notification every time a new episode is posted. While you are there, please take a moment to rate us. Thanks again for listening to OncLive On Air.